Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
And as we've heard from many political analysts, economists, and as we'll continue to hear from representatives of business, one thing is important. We need to prioritize the livelihoods of us as individuals in South Africa. Dumza shared a voice note earlier on highlighting the concerns around a very thin tax base. And she's right. The tax base in South Africa sits at around 7 million people in our population. If you consider the fact that we have more than double that number reliant on social grants, it really puts things into perspective as to who's assisting who here and how sustainable that strategy is. So these are some of the themes we will be exploring in just a few more minutes and moments, and also gauging your thoughts as a South African, as these coalitions emerge and negotiations are taking place in the background. What do you hope the politicians who hear tonight's conversation really embark upon and prioritize in their negotiations, in their perhaps phases of the politics that they might lapse, and most importantly, maintaining the progress of South Africa's economy, which we've been lacking, but certainly need to continue with. So we are going to get some perspective now from the South African Chamber of Commerce and Industry. The CEO, Alan Mokoki, joins us now for more. Tate Mokoki, such a pleasure to have you with us, as always. I've been saying to many of our guests, I think we were breathing a sigh of relief that the election date has come and gone. But now we sit with the angst of evaluating the outcome of a coalition government. Your initial response to the results yesterday?
Well, I think that the first thing that we pointed out was that, we should be encouraged by the fact that South Africans came out in their millions, joined long queues to make their voices heard. And the second part, of course, is to acknowledge the fact that in South Africa, the maturing democracy means that a number of the political parties that did participate, they did so peacefully. It was robust. It's a democracy that's full of vitality. Yet at the same time, you are not hearing people or bombs exploding all over the place because someone is unhappy with the election process. So I think that sometimes we don't give ourselves enough or sufficient credit when we actually are showing the capability to be able to run democratic systems in the manner in which we've actually been able to. And I think that now where we are, coming back to your question, yes, it's a challenge, but it's not like we have not had practice. I think that over the last 2.5 years of the local government elections that did produce quite a number of surprises in a number of the big metros, there has been some element of an experience. And by all means, South Africans sometimes see themselves as unique. And there's nothing special about us. Coalition governments happen all over the world. Mm. Italy, Germany, places that do function and are developed, and they're very successful and experienced. So there are learnings for us to learn from other people how they've managed to do so. It all boils down to culture and the values and how we as South Africans are able to manage through conflict. And in a sense, I think it would be unfair not to recognize the fact that South Africans rate in the world amongst the big nations that have proven without any doubt that they are able to manage conflict. There's no doubt about that. I mean, all the way from, the negotiations at CODESA, a number of iterations around how we've handled issues around big debates in NADLAC, big debates around major labor strikes, big debates around a whole range of things where people have gone out into the streets to protest. But in the final analysis, we do come out on the other side with a very clear idea of what exactly it is that we're trying to do. Yes.
And you raise
coalition governments are going to be unstable.
You mentioned a very important point there, especially when it comes to the negotiations, because this, I guess, also raises the points that business would like to see being emphasized or continued to create a certain environment. What key themes are you hoping will be prioritized by political parties?
Well, I think that real politics in the final is that people do see what can or cannot work. You know, of course, there is a huge difference in terms of some of the various political parties when it comes to policy, economic policy. Some talk about nationalizing things. But in the final analysis, we should all appreciate and understand that that's where the ANC itself started in the 80s and the 90s. But I think that they were persuaded by reality that some of those particular policies, they needed to be iterated very differently. There is an element of evolution in terms of how people think, because in the final analysis, we should be proud of the fact that processes and debates and group dynamics in South Africa tend to be very much transparent, and people are able to persuade each other. Mm-hmm. So to that extent, I think that we should draw on the strength, demonstrable strength, that South Africans have always shown in being able to manage very complex and complicated systems. Gotcha. And I think that we should just always come with a very positive outlook to things.
I love your diplomatic response, Mr. Mokoki. So I'm trying to try and push you to the response the audience really wants. Is there a preferred coalition government that the markets and business actually does have? And maybe we could list some.
Well, I don't think that it would be fair for organizations like ourselves, like South African Chamber of Commerce, for instance, because we draw our members from a whole range of different political parties to nail our colors to the mast and say, sure, this is the preferred coalition that we want. Mm-hmm. I would think that it's about the values. And when we align ourselves to political parties that are going to respect the rule of law, that are going to obviously promote the free market system, but a free market system that says there must be inclusive economic growth that is equitable, that benefits everyone else. Because for the longest time, even we as business have made this fundamental error of assuming that transformation is a compliance issue that only belongs to government. You know, I've said that to you on your show. Mm-hmm. People don't wash a rented car. So we ourselves, in terms of leadership maturity, need to move away from that. Because the more black people are in the economy, the more women are empowered with rising income, the better it's actually going to be for our business. It's a leadership issue. It's an enlightened self-interest from that point of view. So if you then have political organizations that are speaking that language, the language of transforming the economy so that everyone benefits, so that everyone has got income, we can only be smiling, because that's going to be good for our business. Where there's policy certainty, if I'm investing, I need to have a sense of understanding what the energy policy is. I need to understand what are we doing with infrastructure. I need to understand that if I have a dispute with someone, I'm certain that I can go to some kind of a court or some kind of a tribunal that can mediate my dispute with that particular person, and that the laws are actually being respected. So if the principles and values are aligned, then business will actually support whatever alliance that is. But remember, we're not absent from the picture. You still have NEDLAC, which is a constitutional and a legal requirement, where whoever is in business, whoever is running the show, needs to come and consult with the social partners. And it is in that context that I do believe that we need to be very positive in terms of being able to persuade each other to actually see what is the right thing and what are the right options for the Republic.
Got you. To close off with, you also commented very briefly on the IEC and perhaps how this also illustrates the independence of our institutions.
Yes, absolutely. And there are improvements. I think that the IEC is still running very archaic systems. We go into the queues, we're still using pieces of paper, we've got to have ink on our nails. You know, so there are areas where we need to be able to improve to be far more efficient than we've been. But I think that the IEC has been demonstrating over the periods. And by the way, do not forget one thing that South Africans may not always be aware of, that IEC is also called upon globally to consult in many other jurisdictions, because the credibility of the IEC is very much highly respected. So where there will be disputes, and they are going to happen, where there are going to be errors, where this one allocated 200 votes to the other one, the most important thing is that when that is being raised, it can actually be dealt with. The legislation is complete. The process of how you handle disputes is actually also a vote that gets to be counted in a voting station where party agents are not actually available. So that particular process we need to respect, and we also need to improve, because it's still taking too long. There's technology now that we all ought to say, you know, I can go there, use my fingerprint, I can use biometrics, I can use, you know, eye recognition. So there are a whole range of things that we should actually now start moving into. And that will also assist us in a number of cases to move into the area where the participation is not just 58.6%. Because we need to conduct the research and say, you've got a country like South Africa, 27.7 million people registered. Why is it that they didn't show up? The fact that you're registering is an indication that you intended to vote. Why did they not show up? So we need to understand what those elements are. Why did people just not show up, or, you know, the whatever number, 40% of people that stayed away, what caused them to do so? So that you can improve and create accessibility, because accessibility is another issue. You're going to keep people in long queues. You're tampering with accessibility, and that does not give you the right picture in terms of how and what you can actually do. So I think that we should improve.
Got you. But always a pleasure speaking to you. That's Alan Mokoki, who
Thank
is
you.
The CEO of SACI, the South African Chamber of Commerce and Industry.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.